is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
I'm George Matisek. Little Portion Farm, a ministry of the Conventual Franciscans, has been feeding the hungry and caring for creation since 2019. Using sustainable methods, the Ellicott City Farm has donated more than 100,000 pounds of fresh produce to those in need. With us today are Father Michael Heine, provincial leader of his religious communities, Our Lady of the Angels Province, and Matt Jones, manager of Little Portion Farm. Father Heine, who became provincial leader in 2022, has also served as vicar provincial, directed the Shrine of St. Anthony in Ellicott City, ministered in counseling at Archbishop Curley High School in Baltimore, and spent 4 years as a missionary in Jamaica. Matt Jones has overseen Little Portion Farm from its start, transforming 3 empty acres into a thriving ecosystem. He's organized thousands of volunteers and manages the farm's daily operations. Before that, he worked in environmental policy for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Father Heine and Matt Jones, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Father Michael, can you tell us how Little Portion Farm first came about?
Sure. A number of years ago, when I got back from Jamaica, which was about 2012, 2013, we were looking at how we use our property. And we have many, many acres. It's all, most of it's wooded. But we also rented out farmland to a farmer who was doing chemical farming, in a sense. It was beautiful. There was wheat, there was corn, perfect rows, but he was using chemicals as a pesticide. And we found that the ground was extremely hard. So when the Pope Francis came out with, taking care of the environment, we said, we got to do something different with our property. And so we ended the lease that we had with that particular farmer. And we said, all right, what can we do? Tom Cunningham, which is a farmer, he runs Maryland's Farm, which is about maybe a mile from here at the Shrine, helped us to turn all that soil into healthy soil. And so we had to keep on planting crops and turning it over and over again to make the ground fertile. And then we decided we were going to take a certain portion. We called it the Little Portion, after the church that St. Francis has in Assisi, and use that for organic growing. And we wanted to partner with the Franciscan Center, which is downtown. And that's where Matt came on the scene to come and start. We started small, but we continued to grow.
What were the challenges of getting that farm in shape from what it had been before, Matt?
Well, there were some... parts of the 3 acre plot that in the first year that I started, it held water for months at a time. It was basically a pond because of, poor drainage, just anecdotally. And that first year, it took a good portion of the year of working the land before I even saw an earthworm. Mm. So it was a gradual process of using cover crops, which are basically, which Father Michael alluded to, just planting a variety of species that, the goal is not necessarily to harvest those, but it's to kind of feed the soil and to increase nitrogen and to aerate the soil. So there's channels for earthworms and such. I think one of the biggest changes from the previous style of farming was the diversity that we kind of sought to plant. So before it was kind of what we would call a monoculture, so just one crop. We're planting, a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, and even, plants that aren't intended for harvest. Again, so, things like wildflowers, even fruit trees, and perennial crops. So,
Did you have to stock the soil with earthworms, or did they eventually find their way into the farm?
no, we did not do that. They found their way back. We did lots of we use a tool called a broad fork, which it's like a almost like a pitchfork that you stand on, and kind of jump and aerate the soil. Fun for adventurous volunteers. And that's kind of an alternative to tilling the soil. So we're not upturning and inverting soil layers that can be destructive to things like earthworms and other microorganisms.
What are currently some of your biggest crops that you harvest from the farm?
Right now we have a lot of cucumbers, a lot of tomatoes. We do peppers, squash, eggplant, potatoes. We do a lot of salad greens, so like lettuce and spinach, arugula. We try to diversify from both an ecological standpoint and from the standpoint of our partner organizations, so they receive a wide variety of bowls. But it's also good for the earth as well, because we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket, so that we risk a pest or a disease coming in and wiping out our whole field, because we are doing this without chemicals.
Father Michael, could you talk about how the vegetables make their way to those most in need, how those partnerships work?
Yeah, we started, as I said, we wanted to partner with the Franciscan Center, and it was kind of a natural partnership. It was 19, or I'm sorry, 2025, I think it was, that we took over, the Franciscans took over, I'm sorry, 2023, the Franciscans took over the sponsorship of the Franciscan Center from the Franciscan Sisters of Milwaukee, who joined with the Franciscan Sisters of Baltimore. The Franciscan Sisters of Baltimore, who arrived here in 1881. First, that was an orphanage, then it was a special education school, and then 1968, the Franciscan Center started. Those sisters were starting to get smaller in number, and so they joined the Franciscan Sisters of Milwaukee in 2001. So as we were going along, we were giving that food to the Franciscan Center. The sisters at Milwaukee wanted to kind of divest themselves of their ministries because they're getting older, and so they asked us to take the sponsorship. So that's been very, very exciting. So we took the sponsorship over in 2023. So the food, basically, Matt could probably say better than I, but the food goes to the Franciscan Center. They send a van in and a truck. We have refrigerators in our barn, and so before each planting, the chef down at the Franciscan Center will say what he uses the most. And so it's really a novel idea. We hear of farm-to-table restaurants. We have, with our partnership with the Franciscan Center, farm-to-table soup kitchen. And so they get fresh vegetables every day. I think it was a big change for the guests. I don't know if they always wanted to eat their greens, but it certainly worked out well. And they have healthy meals. And the Franciscan Center, they do something like 1,800 meals a day. And this year, I think they're on track for 700,000 meals, and it all includes our fresh produce.
Wow. Have you had a chance to dine with some of the guests at the Franciscan Center? And
I have, and they're very appreciative of what we're doing. And I think after a while, they realize that what they're eating is good. There was another important part of the Franciscan Center during COVID. They were giving out a lot of food that the guests didn't know how to cook at home. And so they started a program to teach the guests how to cook, but they also started a program called Dignity Plates, where they would train guests to become chefs and how to use the produce, how to use certain foods. It's a, I think it's a 13-week program that when they graduate, they're certified to be able to get jobs in the local area. So it's one of those things where, you know, we just don't feed, but we teach them how to cook, and then they can get a job. But all that comes together, dignity plates, and they're able to, like I said, use our produce, learn how to use it, and become certified chefs.
Well, our guests today are Father Michael Heine, provincial leader of Our Lady of the Angels province of the Conventual Franciscans, and Matt Jones, manager of Little Portion Farm. And we're talking about Little Portion Farm in Ellicott City. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Three major Catholic philanthropists, each of whom played pivotal roles in advancing Catholic education in Baltimore, have died within days of one another. Mark Fetting, former CEO of Legg Mason and past chairman of the Archdiocesan Board of Financial Administration, died August 9th while with family in New Hampshire. He was 70. Days later, Michael J. Batza Jr., a leader in healthcare and real estate, and longtime supporter of Catholic schools and ministries of the Sisters of Mercy, died at his Towson home on August 20th. He was 83. 2 days after that, Raymond Chip Mason, founder of Legg Mason and the first chairman of the Partners in Excellence Scholarship Program, died in Naples, Florida. He was 88. Together, the three men helped raise millions of dollars for the Partners in Excellence program, which since its founding has provided more than 25,000 scholarships worth nearly $30 million to disadvantaged youth, most of them non-Catholic and students of color. Matt Anthony of the Archdiocese of Baltimore said the three men's passing was, quote, a bit of a shock, noting their vital roles in supporting Catholic education and the wider community. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. In Severna Park, Archbishop William E. Laurie dedicated the newly renovated worship space at St. John the Evangelist Parish before a packed church of more than 800 faithful on August 20th. The nearly year-long renovation replaced the parish's dark ceiling with a bright new dome featuring images of St. John, the Lamb of God, and angels from the Book of Revelation. A new altar now includes a painted crucifix and icons of the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John the Evangelist. During the liturgy, Archbishop Laurie sealed relics of martyrs into the altar, anointed it with sacred chrism, and blessed the worship space with incense. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. On behalf of everyone at the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit Archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today about Little Portion Farm, which is located on the property of St. Anthony Shrine in Ellicott City. And our guests are Father Michael Heine, provincial leader of the Our Lady of the Angels province of the Conventual Franciscans, and Matt Jones, manager of Little Portion Farm. So Matt, you talked a little bit about how you work the farm there, but it seems like you have a pretty small staff. Is it just you who is full-time and everything is volunteer? Is that how it works?
So there's two of us, full-time staff, and then pretty much everyone else is a volunteer. So we do have, like over the summer, we have had a couple interns, which they essentially work close to full-time schedules over the summer. But other parts of the year, we're just reliant on, groups from schools and churches and businesses to come to the farm. A number of people come also just as individuals. So we have the schedule kind of varies by the season, but typically a few days per week, 4 or 5 days per week, we have volunteer openings where people can just sign up on our website and show up, and we put them to work with whatever we're doing that day. And they do pretty much everything that we, do on the farm, from planting to, bed preparation, weeding, harvesting. We even have some volunteers who occasionally deliver the produce. So they're really the core of the ministry. This last year, we had just over 1,700 unique volunteers who worked on the farm. Number of those people, are repeats. So we have, a good core of people who come maybe like once a week or even a couple times a week. This year, we're already over 1,200 unique volunteers. So I think we're, might get up to potentially up to 2,000 volunteers, which would be the most we've ever had in a year. So, but yeah, just to echo that, they're really the core of the ministry.
How can people get involved? Do they just go through your website to sign up to volunteer?
Yep, littleportionfarm.org. You can, yeah, that people can find our volunteer schedule on there. Kind of changes by month, but we're really here 12 months a year, pretty much on the farm 52 weeks per year. Somebody at least. Definitely slows down in the winter, but we have things going on as well.
Father Michael, how does this all connect to the spirituality of the Franciscans and also to Pope Francis's call for care of the earth?
St. Francis had a love for the poor, and he wanted to help the poor. We know that his life was changed when he embraced a leper on the road. He didn't like the lepers. They were the outcasts, but he embraced the leper, and tradition has it the leper turned to Christ. And Francis was, again, a man of the poor. He was also a man of the earth. And so this year marks the 800th anniversary of the Canticle of Creatures, where Francis prays Brother Sun, Sister Moon, and was really calling all God's creation to praise God, the Creator. Francis liked to work the land and to get his hands dirty. And so a farm is a natural outcome of Franciscan spirituality. And doing the best we can to cultivate that land and to give it to the poor. Pope Francis says, we need to hear the cry of the poor and the cry of the land. And so we're doing both that at the same time.
Matt, do you have room to grow? Can you go beyond 3 acres or any plans there?
It's always possible. Right now our the 3 acre plot is fenced in with a deer fence. So it's 8 feet tall. Keeps the deer from eating our veggies. But the friars do have, as Father Michael said, a number of acres here on the property. And we've actually just this year finally kind of filled out the 3 acres that we have. We put in two new high tunnel greenhouses that kind of filled in the last spot on the farm that hadn't been cultivated yet. So we'll probably go through a year or two where we figure out that scale, kind of get our methods down and whatnot, and we'll see what happens.
Are there opportunities for prayer or retreats for those who participate? Is there any formation in addition to the physical labor that they do?
So we have we have a number of different community events that we offer on occasion. So we've done like a book club in the past where we kind of often discuss a book that's related to food or faith or both. We do occasional film screenings for the public. We have offered like a retreat, a day of recollection for volunteers, which was very fruitful. And then at various points during our history, we've done blessings. So we did blessings of the first fruits that we harvested and blessings of the first plantings. And then we do have a spring event, which is in honor of Blessed Giles of Assisi, who we've kind of adopted as our spiritual patron. He was a early follower of Francis, and he also was like a manual laborer who went through fields and harvested and gave to the poor. So we've kind of adopted him as kind of, embodying what we're trying to do. And we do a little festival in the spring around his feast day in April. So that's and we do a blessing of the farm and
And the farm, the Little Portion farm is on the property of the Shrine of Saint Anthony. And so the whole property is a place of pilgrimage to come to pray. There's daily mass, many of the volunteers will come to daily mass. And they're in their chapel because they leave their shoes on the outside of the chapel, and they're in there, they're praying. But it's
You can
the property
smell
is open, during the light hours. And even within the garden itself and farm, there's benches where people can come just and sit. And really something special happens when you're sitting among nature. You really can feel close to the Lord and the Lord close to you. So really the whole property is a prayer experience. And we always say there's people will come and want a farm, but they're not necessarily interested in formal religion. So the farm is kind of like a little hook to get them on the property and to evangelize also.
And you guys have a great rosary lane that goes through the wooded area there on the property as well. It's another
Right.
opportunity.
And we just opened a new St. Anthony garden. So I think we're around almost 300 acres. Most of them is wooded and with plenty of trails, and there's people on the property every day.
Now, I know you are hosting a big fundraiser coming up, the Wine at the Shrine event. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah, it's a joint fundraiser between Little Portion Farm and the Franciscan Center of Baltimore, who receives our produce. The idea, it's a very family-friendly event. It's October 11th, Saturday, from 1 to 6, on the property of the shrine. For those who adults who would like to, they can sample local beers and wines. We have lots of kids' activities, so hay rides. We've got pumpkins on the farm that people can pick and decorate. We have, yard games. There's live music. So it's a really good family-friendly event, and it's supporting our joint our work.
So there'll be an opportunity. Again, it's right in front of the Shrine of St. Anthony, so there's opportunities to take tours of the shrine. Many people ask about the history of the building and all, so they can have their wine and then a tour of the shrine. And it's a wonderful afternoon. Pray that it doesn't rain. I already have my rosaries out my window and a statue of Saint Anthony in the window. It rained one year and it was a little tough, but it's a great opportunity for people to come to the property.
And do you have to register, or do you purchase a ticket, or how can people participate?
Yes, yeah, people can buy tickets at wineatthshrine.org. And then they should also be available on the day of at the door.
Okay.
And that's October 11th.
Okay, great. Well, our guests today have been Father Michael Heine and Matt Jones, and we've been talking about Little Portion Farm. So, Father Michael and Matt, thanks so much again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.